We're working our way through Paul's letter to Timothy, and today we're going to do chapter 3. It's called Difficult Times. Next Sunday, we're going to finish 2 Timothy, and then in our fellowship time, Denise is organizing some sandwiches and soup, and after that, we're going to decorate our church for the Christmas season. And then when Christmas rolls around, that December, we're going to spend the first Sunday in communion. Then we're going to talk about the Christmas story and the difference between the Christmas story and the coming of Christ. And then we're going to talk about God's provision. We'll do the mission and budget and go caroling on the 18th. We got to get the work done before the end of the year, so we'll give you a mission and budget to improve. Then we'll have a snack and go caroling. And then the 25th is open mic. And so I ask you to be preparing your songs and comedy routines and Christmas story renditions or whatever. But we're going to turn on all the microphones and invite you to come up. We'll do Christmas songs, and we want you to be a part of that event. So today's 20th of November in 2011. Difficult times are what we're talking about in 2 Timothy 3. So there's two sections to the book of 2 Timothy, and they are chapters 1 and 2 is part 1. And that's the foundations of Christian service, and we've completed that foundation of Christian service. Now part 2 and chapters 3 and 4 this week and next week, what we're going to deal with is the difficult times for Christian service. So Paul set up the foundation. Anytime you build something, you lay a foundation. I need to get together with some guys and do some digging behind and around the church because the water's leaking in around the foundation. So I got to run some tile out to the curb and get rid of that water. But you always put in your foundation first, and after you get your foundation in, then you're ready for the difficult times. And there's all those stories of Bill about building on the sand or building on the rock. And you need a good foundation because the storms are going to come. So, are you ready and willing to look with me at what God and Paul say is coming? Ready to take a look at that with me? So here's part two. It's the goodness, or godlessness, excuse me, in the last days, and then Paul's challenge to us. And could there be a chance? Now just think with me for a minute. Could there be a chance that we, you and I, are in a time that God is speaking to us like the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel? We just finished reading Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and they were in a time when the prophet Jeremiah was preaching and teaching in the land of Judah, and Ezekiel was a street preacher in Babylon, and they were explaining that godlessness leads to, could that be you and I are in a time like that? It's been said that Christian faith makes no sense unless you start with the assumption there's something drastically wrong. One of our local preacher boys is a guy by the name of Bill Hybels, and the pastor Hybels at Willow Creek Church near Chicago preached a sermon one Sunday on the theme that we are all sinners in need of Savior. After the service, a salesman came forward to Bill Hybels and said he didn't see himself as a sinner. Hybel asked him, okay, have you been absolutely faithful to your wife in thought and action? Well, the man kind of hedged. Well, you know, I'm a salesman. I travel a lot. You know. Then Hybel asked him, about your expense account? Oh, you know, everybody kind of stretches it a bit on your expense account, the man said defensively. Finally, Hybel asked him if he had ever overstated or exaggerated a claim in what he was selling. Well, you know, that's just kind of standard practice in the industry, the man told him. So Hybels responded, well, let's see. You've just told me that you are an adulterer, a cheater, and a liar. The man replied, he was appalled at the harsh insensitivity. How dare you call me awful things, he explained. He, like a lot of us, wanted to see himself in the best light possible. Unless you see there's a problem, Unless you see there's something wrong, everything that I'm going to try to show you out of the Bible won't make any sense at all. As long as you got it figured out, you can handle it, you're in good shape, you can take care of it, unless you know that you need help, or you know something's wrong, none of this is really going to make any sense to you. Now, here's how it begins, chapter 3, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power. Have nothing to do with such people. They will be the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just like Mr. J and Mr. J opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose them. And the J's are the two wizards in Egypt who could do all of the cool stuff that Moses could do. Turn his staff into snakes, do, you know, all this, turn water into blood. Those were the guys. Now, they were the men of deprived minds who are far from the faith, and as far as faith is concerned, they are rejected. But they will not get very far because the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. So in the two parts of Timothy, we start out with godlessness in the last days. Have there been times in the past when godlessness has been widespread? Historically, can you think of any Bible times when godlessness was pretty rampant? What's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? In Sodom and Gomorrah, it was quite cool to come out of the closet with being homosexual. It was quite chic to be gay. Noah. What about the times of Noah? God searched all over and he could only find one righteous guy, Noah. He built a boat. What about Jeremiah and Ezekiel? Do you remember that? What did God do when people got too ungodly? Where is Sodom and Gomorrah? Where are the people that didn't get on the ark? Where are the carcasses in Jerusalem? Now, there will be terrible times. There will be. That's A on your outline. Finally got to the outline. You didn't think I was ever going to get there, did you? There will be terrible times in the last days. So should you and I expect God to be different in our times than in the past? Should we expect that we can live ungodly, unholy lives like this Rolodex list we're going to go through? We can live like that and God's going to kind of skip over us because Jesus has come and we're in the age of grace and God's really not going to have to deal with the ungodliness because God doesn't change, sir, ma'am. God doesn't change. When the godliness is gone and it is godlessness, bad things happen. So, who were the people God used in the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel? Who were the people he used to bring judgment? Think about it. Ezekiel's in Babylon. They were the Muslims. The Muslim faith came and wiped out Jerusalem. Can God use those people today to clean out the ungodly? If he did it then, can he do it now? If they got so ungodly back then that it needed to be done, will he clean house now? Some of you, like me, will do event cleaning for the holidays, won't you? Thanksgiving coming! Unless you got a brand new house that doesn't need to be cleaned. But the rest of us are going to have to clean for event cleaning, right? Our Heavenly Father is going to do event cleaning soon. sir, madam. And you want to be like Noah. And you want to be like Jeremiah. And you want to be like Ezekiel. And you want to be like Lot. You want to be the one good guy. The one righteous woman. Because difficult times are coming. Let's move on to B on your outline. People will be. Sounds like the same. People will be. Now, when we go through this checklist, check it off. I'm going to rock and roll right through there. Check those boxes. If you know anyone who is like this, anyone, here's number one, lovers of themselves. Know anybody like that? Check it. Number two, lovers of money. Know anybody that loves money more than God? Check the box. Boastful. Do you know anybody that brags about how much money they're making and how well they're doing and how... Check the box. Proud. Pride always comes before the fall. Do you know people who are cocky and arrogant and they believe they can do it on their own? Check the box. Abusive. Do you know people who are abusive, coarse in their language? They yell at their wives or they yell at their children or they yell at the people that they work with? Talk to Howard. You can get arrested for that. You can't yell at your wife and children or your people you work at. That's a legal offense. They call it assault. Or was it, is that one battery? Am I right, Howard? That's assault? Assault, disorderly conduct. You can't yell at people. I'm in trouble. They catch me, I'm going to be in trouble sometimes. I need to work on my forgiveness list. Disobedient to their parents. There you go. All of you who are still under your parents' roof, check the box. Ungrateful. How many people do you know going into the Thanksgiving season who are going to grump and be ungrateful? Anybody? I bet that in Whiteside County there are people that get 6 out of 10 of their family in the house and they're going to grump that the other four aren't there. I bet. Unholy. Man, oh man, turn on the television. Open your life to the Word of God. Check the box. Without love. Know anybody like that? Unforgiving. Oh man, you want to know why that list is on the back of the page? Busted. But I'm working on it. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to make a conscious effort again in my life to be forgiving rather than unforgiving. Slanderous. Ever talk about people, bad things or the things that you don't like about them? Know anybody like that? Without self-control. Oh, man. Brutal. Can you check the box for somebody you know? Not lovers of the good. They love the evil, the bad. They don't love the good. Treacherous. Now, there's an interesting one. You got any friends or family that are treacherous? Rash. I don't think they're talking about shingles there. They're talking about another way of living, not my shingles. Conceited. How many people do you know, live with, or see in the mirror like that? Lovers of pleasure. Now, there's one for our culture. Creature comfort. Lovers of pleasure. Man, we are addicted. Woman, we are addicted. A little or no love of God. Expressing a form of godliness. Denying the power of God. How many of that big long list can you check with your pencil or pen that Joshua put in the pew for you so that you can look at that list and say, I know somebody like that. Now, here's C in your life. Have nothing to do with such people. Nothing is your blank. But Lord, what if I is one of them such peoples? Poor grammar. Maybe good theology. What are you going to do if you can see stuff on that list that lives at your house and it's the person that's looking at you in the mirror. What are you going to do? D, there are, these are the kinds of people that are always learning, but, is your blank, but, Sergeant Schultz would say, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, that's the gig. Change. Now, I saw that on buses a few years ago, and it's a great deal, and I'm not sure that I like what that meant in political terms, but what it means in theological and biblical terms is, if you look at this stuff, if you look at these truths, and you don't do something with them that changes your life, just puffs your head full of knowledge, but your life doesn't change, then you're one of them people. And there's the problem. It's application. You see the truth, you believe the truth, you apply the truth, and your life changes. Okay, E, people like these have deprived or depraved, which word is it, Jules? Depraved minds is your blank. It's spelled correctly, but I couldn't pronounce it right. They are rejected as far as faith in Jesus is concerned. So, what's it look like in 2011? Does it look like that list? Can you see someone you know on that list? Can you see you on that list? What can one do about it? Why is it so tempting to love pleasure rather than God? You ever think about that? When you're driving, when you're on the treadmill, when you're going for your walk, why is it so tempting to love pleasure rather than God? We do in our country. Is there a hand here that would disagree with that? Anybody disagree that our country is addicted to pleasure and comfort? Now, pleasure is something you can control. Now, God is someone you cannot control. Pleasure can be obtained easily. Love for God requires effort and sacrifice. You can't stay in the same place. You can't stay the same and change. Now, goes on, verse 10. You, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecution, sufferings. What kind of things have happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Now, it's kind of cute. Lystra is Timothy's hometown, and that's where Paul, one of the times that Paul was stoned and left for dead. I mean, that's one of several. 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life like Christ Jesus is going to be persecuted. They will be persecuted. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know these things from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the scriptures, which have been able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, for the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You just take that one section, and I've heard people teach a whole week every night on just that one verse. Now, here, godlessness in the last days, Paul's challenge to us. Can the love and the grace of God change me? Do you think it can change me if I let it? Do you think it can change you? Do you think and believe it can change you? Okay, A, you can learn. Learn is your blank. You can learn from my teaching. You can learn from Paul's teachings. Here's a quote from the book Julie and I are reading, 1,000 Gifts. The parent must always self-parent first. Self-preach before child-teach. Because who can bring peace unless they've held their own peace? Unless they've held their own peace. Think about that. We must self-parent first. Self-preach before we child-teach. Because if we don't have peace, we can't bring peace. You can learn from my way of life. Not mine, but Paul's. Can you check that box? You can say, yeah, I can do that. I could learn from Paul's way of life. Check the next one. Learn from his purpose in life. His purpose in life, could you learn from that? Could you learn from his faith? Check the box. From his patience. Could you learn from Paul's patience? Could you learn from Paul's love? When you read the letters, how I cry and I'm thankful and I pray for you, could you learn from his pattern of love? Could you learn from his endurance? If you read 2 Corinthians 17 and you read how many times he was stoned and left for dead, how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times all this stuff, and when this is the last letter he ever writes. 2 Timothy is the last letter he writes before they hack his head off. And he's writing, God delivered me from all of that. Could you learn from his endurance, his never give up, never quit seeking the Lord? Could you learn from his persecutions? Could you learn from his sufferings, the persecutions he endured? Can you check those boxes? Could you learn from that? See, B on your outline, the Lord rescued me from all of them. Now, that's going to take some ciphering. How can the guy be stoned 4 times, shipwrecked 3 times, adrift in sea for... How can he... And then say, God rescued me from all of that when I'm just about ready to have my head whacked off for believing in Jesus Christ and preaching the resurrection. Now, how can he write that? There's stuff there for you and I to learn. See, everyone... Write everyone in that blank. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If you turn to the kingdom, expect problems to show up. D, evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse. The bad guys are going to get away with it, and they're going to get worse, and they're going to have larger profit margins, and the kingdom is going to get poor. It's the way it's going to go. Bad times are coming. E, continue is your blank. Continue in what you have learned and have believed. Now, don't just start it. No, oh, okay, well, I'm going to start being thankful like Pastor Wilmer says. Oh, I'm going to start forgiving like Pastor. Continue in that stuff. My problem is I stopped. Somewhere along the line when I got sick or Julie got sick or I got distracted and I so to speak, got off the wagon. I don't know where it was, but I'm certain that I'm not on the wagon. So I'm getting back on. I'm going to let the Lord Jesus pull me in the little red wagon through life, and I'm going to start laughing and enjoying all the days that I have left with everybody I get to. Now, I've got to continue in that. I can't keep starting and stopping. It's not good for me or you. Continue in what you've learned and believed. Now, F, the Holy Scriptures can make you wise, explain that your salvation is your blank. Salvation is through faith in Christ Jesus. That's how it comes. When the men sit around the fire and we read the smartest guy in the world's book to his boys, we're trying to understand it, trying to become more wise, trying to understand this amazing thing of salvation. And your last blank is all, G. All the Scripture, all of it, everything in the Bible is God-breathed, and it's very useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, training, righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I don't know what your work is. maybe your work is being a dad. Well, study the book. Don't do it your way. Maybe your good work is being a mom. Study the book and do the work from the book. Maybe you're a kid, you're a child. Study the book and learn from. Maybe you're a grandparent like me. Study the book and learn how to be a grandparent. Maybe you're a great grandparent or great great grandparent. Study the book and learn how to do these things. From His way, not my way. Maybe you're trying to learn how to make a fortune. Study the book. He'll tell you how to make money. You know any poor Jews? Now, study the book. It's all designed to help you with the job you're in and the responsibilities you're in. And it may be that you're just, you know, trying to figure out what to do with the rest of your life. Study the book. Now, is that a wake-up call for you and me? I think so. Okay, so what are you and I going to let Jesus do for us and then through us? What are you going to let Him do? He is a gentleman. He's not going to kick down your door with a sawed-off shotgun. He's a gentleman. He will stand at the door and He'll knock. But if you ever look at the picture, there's no doorknob on that side. He can't open the door. He won't open the door. You've got to see that there's a problem. You got to see that there's a need. And then you got to let Him in. Will you? What are you going to pray for your family because of this? Who are you see people on that first list. You wrote initials all by it. What are you going to pray for them? Don't just see that there's a problem and do nothing with it. Change. Pray. Okay. When are you going to start? Got to be a start date. There's got to be a deadline or I'll never get anything done if there's no deadlines. Why do I see so many people nodding their head? Got to have the job done or you're going to get paid fines. That's the reason you get it done. You know? When are you going to start? That's between you and Him. Will you pray for each other with me? Heavenly Father, as we bow our head before You, we confess that we as Your kids and those among us that don't know You as a personal Savior, we confess we need You and we need Your Holy Spirit and we need the courage that Paul had to speak up, speak out, to do that in a loving, nice way, like your boy did. Not so often the ways that I would, but more You, Lord, less me, Lord. And I pray all of us would pray that for each other. More of You, Lord Jesus, in our lives. More of You, Lord Jesus, in our families. More of You, Lord Jesus, in our finances. In our... More of You, sir. And less of us. May we let You be our King. May we let You be our Lord. May Your kingdom grow and Your righteousness be displayed in people just like us. Actually, us. We pray for all those who are not able to be here for various reasons. And we pray that Your Spirit would visit them. And I don't know if they want to go online and listen to the message or something, but I pray somehow that their lives would be stirred and challenged with the truth of Your Bible. Bad times are coming. We better get geared up. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.